ask you, okay, the Lord, ready to do everything this morning. Give you thanks again, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Ask
Amen. Praise God. Let's just sing the chorus again before the pastor comes. We can't sing that at the chorus. We're to gather again, just praising the Lord. We're together.
In the name of the Lord. And maybe just come and seat it for a moment. Praise God. The Lord bless each one. I just heard yesterday that Pastor Joshua Miranda, I don't know if you know him, Simon, from Guero. Pastor Joshua Miranda went on to be with the Lord yesterday. He's only 64 years of age. But that was the man I first went to when I first went to Zimbabwe in Gweru, and I preached for Joshua Miranda. We had wonderful meetings. Then the next time I went, that one I think was 2003, I went back in 2005, twice. Then I met Brother Calvin Mago and the Bishop. Brother, you know, has a big church, Brother Chisinde. Brother Chisinde. And it was so funny because I rang him up on the phone. They got me on the phone, tell him, and he says to me, how come you've come to Africa and you never told the Bishop of Africa? And I says, Bishop, I'm very sorry. And he started laughing. He started laughing on the phone. And I went to preach for him, and I tell you, it's a big church, isn't that right, brother? And but you know, the thing is, Joshua Miranda's went to be with the Lord. Calvin Mago, that was the meetings in Mashingo. Blessings Chester, that's the wee man came when we had the meetings in the town, and he told all the testimonies. So many testimonies. He was such a nice brother. Brother Blessings Chester, he took me around different places, gave me an open invitation to come anytime. And there's four men on Dixon as well. In Malawi, there's four men all gone on to be with the Lord. And we don't know how long we have. I'm telling you, what I preached the other week in time is more real than we realize. We can think what we're going to do, but we might never be fit to do it. And we need to give all to the Lord when we're here now, when we can. We need to give all, everything to the Lord. Praise God. Just want to pray for the Miranda family. Brother James rang me yesterday to tell me. That was Brother James' pastor. And he preached once in our meetings. And he preached in the Tully Leash, brother, Orange Hall once. Joshua Miranda did. He's a big, tall man. Over 6 feet tall. And I was keeping them going, you know, when I got there, because I was the only white person, brother, when I went. And I said, boy, you brothers, the skin's dark. And he says, no, brother, there's brothers darker than us. When I met Calvin Muggle, I'm telling you, he was dark. Now, I mean, his skin was really dark. And I was the only white person in the meeting. In the meeting. And if I look at all the old photographs, there's all these ministers, and I'm in the middle, and I'm the only white one. Then I interpreted for Brother Blessing Jessa, and there's a fellow on the platform called Luke, and he looked like me. He was an albino. That's true. Did you know him, Brother Luke? Albino, was, you know, with his skin's pale, and he violent her and everything, and it was so funny, and he interpreted for me. And there was an albino woman in the meeting in Guero or Machingo. She came with a sick baby, and the Lord healed that baby in the prayer line. And I have a photograph of it where there's like a cloud right round the woman and the baby when they prayed for, and the Lord healed that baby in them meetings. That was 2005. And I tell you, the Lord worked in them meetings. There was 100 people that was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ just after a few services. That's for the woman was demon possessed as well. What was delivered, and she went back up on the mountains, and then the brothers went to visit her, and the church started from that woman's, one woman's testimony. And you might remember it as well. There's lots of things, you see, we forget, isn't there? We bought them a tent. How many remembers that? We bought them a tent. And the brothers used to send me the video of the tent meetings. When they got that big, the tent was too small. And they saw God move powerfully. And specifically in Machingo, the Spirit of God fell, and there were several brothers had gifts of healing and working of miracles. And they started praying for people, and God mightily used them. And some of them brothers are still going, still today. And I know Brother Wilbert Mashandu, and they still have churches there as well. So maybe the Lord will get me back, brother, sometime. But who knows? I'd love to go to Poland. I'm really thinking about Poland. You wouldn't know, I could wake up some morning and just go. That's what'll happen. Him that's born in his spirits like the wind, you can't tell when she cometh or goeth. But I'll tell you one thing, if you take the notion of doing something, you need to do it. I'm telling you, you need to do it when you're young, praise God. Let's stand our feet, and the Lord bless each one, but just please remember the family, Miranda, I think I'm saying it right, Joshua, Miranda's whole family in prayer. I remember all the children and everything, lovely children, and such a blessing when I stayed with them, and he's went on to be with the Lord. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, and I want to talk about the bread and the cup. And I want to do my best to show you the Lord from it. That's my only purpose. Let's read from verse 20 of Mark 14, verse 20 to 25. And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to him, woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he'd never had been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. May we bow our heads this morning. If you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord. And we're going to pray again for Brother George, Sister Winifred, still not over this cold and everything, but the Lord may touch them. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're here this morning to glorify the lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to lift your name, because your name is higher than any other name. And you promised, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Father, we pray you'll sanctify every one of us. Sanctify this very room. Cover us and wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God this morning, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, I pray, in Jesus' name. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now, and I thank you that you do. Pray for the hand that's raised, the hands that you will bless and meet every need, in Jesus' precious name. Ask you for Brother George, Sister Winifred, for any others representative for this house that's ill or afflicted. May you touch them and heal them, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And I do pray for the Mashanda family at this time. All the church and relatives, you'll strengthen them and comfort them. But we thank you that it's absent from the body and present with the Lord, which Paul says is far greater. Lord, we know there's going to be a reunion day where we'll meet again and with one another. Lord Jesus, help us this morning. As we come to take these emblems, may we see the person of Christ in our service from your word. And may we know your presence in this house. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to start this morning just to read you a wee poem. This is a real, real old poem that was written. And I found this in one of Spurgeon's writings, and it's not even his. He read it from someone else, so it's old. Could be the 1800s it was wrote. One night of utmost trial, when Gethsemane was near, traitor's kiss and friend's denial, cross of shame and piercing spear. Thou dost give these symbols wholly off thy sacrifice and love. Spreadest the table foremost, lowly antepast of bliss above. I tell you, the Lord went the whole way to Calvary for me and you. And the bread and the wine speaks of the Lord. And Jesus broke the bread, partook of the wine, and Judas was there. And he foretold it of the one that would betray him. Now, I'm not here to preach on Judas this morning. I'm here to preach about the bread and wine. But he said he would drink this with us again. Brother Gary mentioned it briefly at his house the other night, and it struck something in me. We will have communion again with the Lord himself. Isn't that wonderful that we will have communion again with the Lord himself? Praise God. The acts of Jesus are significant in his words, especially those acts in the upper room. While handling the symbols of his own body and blood, the day before his crucifixion as a dying man, here he calls his friends together and he makes a last will and testament. Do you ever think of it like that? At this communion service, Jesus was making his last will and testament. Now you could go over to the book of Hebrews, and here's what you'd read. That a testament is not in effect till after the death of the testator. And here Jesus Christ made a will and he made a testament. But not only did Jesus Christ make a will and make a testament, but he brought it into full effect, full function, because he died for me and you. And it's in effect this morning. We can be saved this morning because of it. And we can be healed. And we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, because our testator died for us. And this will is in effect. I want to look at many different things in this bread and wine this morning. First of all, the bread, a symbol of his body. It says here in a reading, Jesus took bread and said, "This is my body." The symbol is beautiful, for bread is not more indispensable than the suffering of Christ's life and salvation. For here's what it says: "Except ye eat my flesh," in John 6:53, "and drink my blood, You have no life in you. Except eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And you know what? Get these phrases this morning, and many, probably too many for this meeting. But may the Lord help us anyway. The Lord took it. He took this bread. Now, when did he get that? There's different sayings I'm going to say here, and they're very scriptural, and they're very important. He took it. Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sins of flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He took it. He took our place. He took it. It was his own voluntary act. He took on him the likeness of sinful flesh. Do you realize, people, you know, some people, you know, they're almost, they're trying to make a man on the equal of Jesus so much. They're near offended when you don't do it. But you can't do it. Because the difference in Jesus is, Jesus could not sin. It's not a matter of him not sinning. He couldn't sin. But every other man did sin. Because the word of God says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when the man come to Jesus to be saved, he said, I've kept the whole thing, all the commandments. You know the scripture, but you know how he starts off? There's none good, no, not one. Not one that's good. Never ever look at somebody, or never get your nose up in the air. Think you're better than somebody else, for I can tell you you're not. Every one of us is guilty. He's the one. But he took it. He took it. And he was made manifest that he was God manifested in the flesh. He took upon him a visible body. He became us that we might become him. He was taking that which was the life for the world. He gave us life for the world. Jesus gave us life for the world. He did it in his incarnation and his humbling, but God glorifying that. You know what the incarnation is? It's God in flesh. When I use that word, I want you to know that's what I'm talking about. It's Isaiah 9, verse 6. He took it. There's another thing he did with here as well. He took the bread. And then there's something else he did with. He blessed it. He blessed it. That is the taking of a sanctifying it. And he made it holy. He blessed it. His body was holy, holy. So holy was the body of Jesus, more than any other man, that he could offer it to God as a substitute for me and you. He appeased God with his sacrifice. No other man could do that. The earthly priest had to offer for himself, then he offered for the people. But Jesus never, ever once offered for himself because he was holy. But he blessed it. And God received it. John 3:34 says, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Jesus had the fullness of the Spirit, not by measure. It was blessed by the fullness of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's why he's blessed. Fullness. Amen. Blameless in service to God. And he blessed it. There's another thing here he did with these are simple, but they're true. He break it. He break it. He took it, he blessed it, and he break it. This also was his own doing, although with wicked hands they crucified him. Yet it was the Lord that gave himself. Because Jesus says, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it up again. The Lord break it. You know, when you watch Mel Gibson's movie, and a lot of people watched it, and I'm not here to say much about it, but it's portrayed basically as a hatred of the Jews. That's the way it's portrayed. And there's lots of it that's false. There's one part of it for the throw him over a wall and he's dangling on a chain. You don't read that scripture. There's another part of it for the say there's 14 stations of the cross. That is a Roman Catholic dogma. There's not one scripture for it. And they make out in that movie that Mary prays with him in all them 14 stations. Absolutely false. Mary prayed, but that business of 14 stations is popery. It's Romanism. It's not in the Bible. Let's not be fooled with these things, but I'm just saying to you. But I'll tell you, the Lord break it. The Lord Jesus Christ said to you that he set his face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem. It was the Lord that determined to go. It was the Lord that done it. It was the Lord that prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The Lord break it. No man taketh my life from me, but he says, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This authority have I received of my Father. He gave himself for us. Yes, the breaking of his body was his own willing consent. And you know what this does? Hear this morning. This gives virtue. Virtue to the sacrifice. Did you hear that? Because he gave it of his own willingness, it gives virtue to the sacrifice. Here's another thing he done when he gave it. He gave it. And giving the broken bread to his believing disciples, he thus indicated that the bestowing of the saving virtue of his broken body is in his own hands. What he's saying, I'm telling you, as Jesus gave them the bread, Jesus is symbolically saying, I am giving you the bread of life. This is a symbolic statement that Jesus is saying, someone that the Pope of Rome can't say, I alone can save. It's only me that can give the bread of life, for I am the bread of life. You say you shouldn't mention the Pope. Why not? Nobody else mentions him. So I have to do a bit extra. And I'm going to mention him. For he is the Antichrist. And many a good man wrote books looking for the Antichrist when he's looking at them. And they can't see him. He's guilty. He's the man that said, don't come to Jesus. Come to me. What do you think he's done recently? He's given permission that two sodomites can come together in his church. That's what he's done recently. Woe to them. And the Bible says, woe to them. But I tell you, Jesus is making a statement when he gives this bread. Jesus is saying, I am the only bread of life. I am the only way. Oh, I love those words in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. I tell you, it doesn't matter how good an old man is, he can't save you. But Jesus can. And he gave this bread. Aren't you glad he gave this bread? Praise God. Broken body in his hands, I have given unto my sheep eternal life. This is what he says. I know my sheep, and I give my sheep eternal life. When Jesus gave the bread, he's given eternal life. When you partake of this bread, you're remembering that the Lord gave himself for you. That's what you're doing. I tell you, the devil will not want you to take it. He didn't want you to take it in the first place. And he never told you you weren't saved until you got saved. And once you made a decision and got saved, he's been busy ever since to tell you you're not saved. And then he goes further. He'll work on you all week and he'll tell you you're not good enough. And you're not. Neither am I. But I'm not worried about that, you see. Because I've fallen under Romans 4. And Romans 4 says, for God does not impute to me my sin, but God imputes to me his righteousness. Amen. Through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I call it the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That his righteousness is mine because He gave it to me, and I took it. Have you taken it? Praise God. A cup, a symbol of his blood. We know Leviticus 17 and 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. I want you to think of this for a moment. I want you to just go on this for a wee minute here. And I want you to know that no other ordinary man could save you or me. Because as soon as his blood would be shed or spilt, it would corrupt, it would congeal, it would dry up. The blood of a horse, the blood of any animal, a lamb in the Old Testament was only a type. But we're not working with a type. We're working with the blood of an everlasting covenant. And Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, it's no remission. Jesus' blood is not normal blood. God's prophet said it's not Jewish blood. It's not Gentile blood. It's God's blood. Therefore, we believe in the incorruptibility of the blood of Jesus Christ. That it never congeals and it never dries up. I tell you, I get raised when I hear people be letting in the blood of Jesus. Because it's a stupid thing. They don't realize that's for the power of the gospel lies in the blood. And I tell you, you have no message outside of it. And people want to belittle the chemistry off. Let me tell you, when you speak of the chemistry of the blood of Jesus, you're not speaking like some animal's blood, but you're speaking about supernatural blood. And the blood of Jesus reached the whole way to heaven. For the Bible says, as the earthly things are sprinkled by these, so the heavenly, with a better sacrifice. This cup that we drink is remembering his blood. Remember, his blood is the only thing in God's provision, in God's plan, that can wash your sins away, that can wash my sins away. It doesn't cover your sin. It removes them. It washes them from the mind, from the memory, from the knowledge of God himself. Into the sea of God's forgetfulness is the blood of Jesus will make you whiter than the very driven snow. So that no devil can condemn you, because you're not no longer under condemnation. You're under the blood of Jesus, and you're pure, you're clean, you're white, and you're holy in the eyes of the Lord. The devil can put that in his pipe, do whatever he wants with that stinker. He'll condemn you. Yes, you see, when a man's living in sin, he's condemned. But when you're in Christ, you're no more condemned. Justified. Justified. Justified means as though you never done it in the first place. Those who were condemned are now justified. Paul said some of us were adulterers, some of us were fornicators, but we're now in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you're in Christ this morning? It's not about being in the church. It's about being in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you're a member of the true body of Christ, the mystical body, but you don't join, but you're born into it, baptized in by one Spirit. And pouring out his blood, he was pouring out his soul unto death. The Lord gave us life for us. He poured out his soul unto death. He died that we might live. He died that we might go to heaven. And that wonderful, so that the second death would have no power over us. He took the cup. He took the cup. The cup of sorrow and suffering put in his hand by the loving and righteous Father. Jesus took it. You see, me and you couldn't approach God. Me and you couldn't come to God. We have nothing we can offer of ourselves to God. But Jesus Christ took the cup and he drank the bitter dregs. Oh, hallelujah. He took the cup of suffering and sorrow the whole way to Calvary. All the bitter dregs he drank that we could be accepted before God. Jesus took that cup. Thank God he took it. What it all meant when he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We cannot tell into such profound depths. We can't go. We can't fully understand it. How can we fully comprehend it? But the Lord done it. He done it because he loved us. This cup meant for Christ. You know, more than anything, he tasted death for every man. He tasted death. Hebrews 2 and 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He took the cup. And not only did he take the cup, he gave thanks for it. He gave thanks for the cup. Now, there's a wee word in the Psalms, and those of you who read the Psalms will know this word, Selah. Selah. Selah means think on it. Think on it. I want you to think of this morning. He gave thanks for it. Pause and think of it. He gave thanks for the cup. That was his own appointed symbol of agony and his awful death. The death of his grace. You know, the depths of his grace. It was the grace of God that he took that cup, that he blessed that cup, that he took our place, thanking the Father for the privilege of suffering for dying and the stead of sinners. That's the love of God. We wouldn't do that. You might think you'd do it. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't be fit to do it. Even the martyrs that died, God gave them a special anointing to die. Do you realize that? You could say, oh, I could have been a martyr. You wouldn't have done it. You'd have given. It was God's time for them. God put a special spirit on them that they could suffer it. Psalms 103, verse 2 to 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Listen to these words. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I'm one that was redeemed from destruction. I was condemned a path of destruction. Maybe you're sitting there this morning and you think, well, I didn't go down that path. Maybe you didn't, but you're still a sinner. You were still on your way to hell. You were still lost without Christ. But thank God he took the cup. Thank God he blessed it. Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth, Brother Laurie, is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord can do it. Paid the price for it. It's available this morning. Here's another thing. He gave it to them. He gave it to them. And I'm going to stop in a moment. And we're going to do communion. And I hope I can stir you. You know what I want to do? I want to stir you. So that you'll be fit to stand in this meeting house. And thank the Lord he saved you and delivered you. And so you'll be fit to tell the devil, you've condemned me all week, but I'm here this morning. And I'm going to thank the Lord I'm here. I can stir you to do that. I've done my job. The devil doesn't want one of you to open your mouth. He wants you handcuffed, shackled. Never wants you to mention the name that's above every name. Oh, you can talk about all you want. You know, I said to a brother recently, I said, I'll tell you can know all the mysteries. You can have all the gifts, doesn't Paul say it? You can know every mystery and all the gifts. You can tell me about the seals and the church ages, and look, they're true. I believe in them. But when you have an opportunity with a man or a woman that's not saved, you need to bring them to the cross. You need to preach Christ to them. And I tell you, that's what they need to hear. They don't need to hear something they don't know nothing about. They need the simplicity of the gospel. May God help us, we never lose it. People say, oh, Brother Tom, you preach a simple message. Thank God it did. Don't want to preach something and you don't know what I'm talking about. And I don't know myself. But no use to me. He gave it to them. Paul tells us that it was after he had supped that he said, this do ye, 1 Corinthians 11:25. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament of my blood. This do ye. So what the Lord done with the cup, he says, we're to do it. We're to do with it. We're to take it. We're to remember it. People argued to me years ago, a man argued to me, we only could have communion in an evening service. You can't have it in the morning service. But then the Bible says, as often as you gather, you can have it. Well, when will that be? Any time you gather, not matter if it's morning or evening. See, I tell you, you can have laws and rules, but you better watch the scripture. If they bind you, they're not much use, sure they're not. Thank God we can come any time. I could come to your house this week and do communion with you. As often as you gather, you can do it. How many believe that? Amen. Absolutely. After his atoning death comes the gift of life. The giving of the cup also suggests his desire that we should enter in to fellowship and suffering and be made conformable unto him. Philippians 3:10-11. That they may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection from the dead. You're able to drink of the cup that I should drink of. That's what they were asking them. Come and drink of it. And I'm going to close up more, but I'm going to close in this saying. They all drank of it. They all drank of it. Ye shall drink of the cup that I drink of. Mark 10:38-39. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of? And be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I am baptized with, shall ye be baptized. Now you know in that portion they're asking them where they can sit. In heaven, the left hand to the right. And Jesus said, I can't give you that. I can't tell you that. It's not in my power, it's in God's power. He'll decide that. It's amazing. You know, even back then with the disciples, they wanted to see who was the greatest among them. Well, I can do it better than him. That's nothing new. That started with the disciples, and they were with the Lord. You know, they not only did they drink of it, but they became martyrs. These disciples become martyrs. Some of them were crucified upside down. They didn't even count themselves worthy to be crucified like the Lord. And they were crucified upside down. And they drank of the cup. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. To drink of this cup is to bear about in the body the dying of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:10. I won't read it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The partakers of Christ's suffering will be made glad when his glory shall be revealed. 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice in so much that you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. We're going to come round the communion table this morning, and we're going to partake of this bread and this wine. I want you to think this is symbolic. We're remembering the Lord. We're remembering his death, life and resurrection. We're remembering what he done for us. When we take this bread, you think of it, that you have partook spiritually of the bread of heaven. You've eaten of something that gives you eternal life. You know all the things today in fitness industry and all the different things. And I'm sure you've heard of Eddie Hall. Eddie Hall was the world's strongest man in 2017 or something like that. But just to make a point, you ever go on YouTube and you go into his house, he has one of these chambers that he goes into. And he spends so long every day in this chamber, closes it to keep him young. And he does so many things, ice baths and hot baths. And then it shows you all the pills he's taking. And you want to see the many things that man's taking. to keep him young. Now, no harm to any hall, he could drop dead tomorrow. And if he's not saved, he's gone straight to hell. But the world today is wanting to keep young. But even if you could find a product that would make you live to 100, you'd still die. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man to die.
Yes.
And after this, the judgment. But here's a free gift. Here's a bread that cometh down from heaven. And here this bread, if you spiritually eat of this bread, you live forever. I give unto my sheep everlasting life. Not only does he give unto them everlasting life, but he says, no one can pluck them out of my hand. That's what the Lord's saying. If you come and partake of this bread this morning, you think when you take this bread, you're remembering the Lord that he gave himself. And this precious wine is blood. It's precious blood. My, all of us were guilty. Do you remember back in the day when you were guilty? When you were ashamed? But the blood brought you nigh. The blood done something no old sacrifice could do, you know. Do you know what it is? It cleared the conscience. The Bible tells you that. The conscience was never clear. There's many a man and a woman tonight and they go to bed and their conscience isn't clear. Because only the blood of Christ and the life of that blood can clear the conscience. Clears the conscience. So you and me can lie down tonight. It doesn't matter, we've made mistakes, we're all guilty. But Jesus forgives us. He's washed away in his blood. And we'll lie with a clear conscience. It's not beautiful. Let us read 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is a New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. I'm going to ask the deacons to come, and we're going to do communion. Maybe as they come, we could bow our heads. Just let us pray. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for an eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that him that receiveth you receiveth eternal life. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ as we take the bread and the wine, these emblems, brethren, thank you. Pray you'll bless them. Ask you that you'll bless everyone in this house. Give them strength. Give them courage. Give them that bravery. Stand up and thank you for saving their soul. Pray for those that devils tormented and rebuke them. That old devourer, the liar, the robber, stealer, and killer. But Lord, you said, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. Let your life come on your children this morning. Even as we take this bread and wine, I pray that there be a life come on people, healing, deliverance, virtue. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.